Well, let us turn again then to Zechariah and chapter 5, and we come to this second vision of this chapter, found in verse 5 through to verse 11. Now, in our consideration of this chapter already, we have noted that there has been, as it were, a break in the visions of hope, the visions of encouragement to a discouraged people, in order to demonstrate to the people the necessity of sin being dealt with among the people of God. And this second vision is closely related to the first vision of chapter 5. And it is related by theme. Both stress, as I've said, the necessity for the removal of remaining sin from this covenant community. The first vision, we had transgression, wickedness, condemned. And this second vision, we have wickedness or transgression expelled, the expulsion of wickedness from the land. Verse 4, we had it condemned. We had it, the wrath of God consuming their houses, consuming it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. And we have it expelled in this vision. We have the two women of verse 9 who rise up with wind in their wings, wings like the wings of a stork, and they carry away this ephah, verse 11, to the land of Shinar. Now, this vision is more obscure than the first. It is more difficult to discern for the prophet and also for us. There is a degree of obscurity that we are confronted with. But the reason for this is, I believe, that it lies in the main thrust of the threatening of the vision. You see, the main thrust of the threatening is expulsion. This wickedness will be expelled from the land. Now, what have we got in the book of Zechariah? Well, we have the covenant people returned from exile, setting themselves about in the rebuilding of the temple. And in this vision, the covenant people here are being warned of a societal evil that will bring them back to the point from which they have just come. Exile. Exile. That's what this vision is telling the prophet. That exile awaits this nation once again. Now, they were about the task of rebuilding. So this vision should not act as a discouragement from their building, but rather a discouragement from sin. Remember, Zechariah's generation had repented. Zechariah's generation had received visions of encouragement through Zechariah of the coming Messiah, of a city without walls. So it was best that they be not discouraged in the work. They were to keep building in the purpose of God while looking for the one to whom previous visions and the temple pointed them to. That was Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. One writer remarked, as the flying roll symbolized the certainty and completeness of their punishment, so this vision indicated its swiftness and mode. They would be swiftly expelled from the land once again. Well, before we come to that point of expulsion, let us consider these points that are before us. And our theme is the woman in the ephah, or expulsion of wickedness. Well, firstly, let us consider the ephah, verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5, he tells a prophet to lift up now thine eyes and see, what is this that goeth forth? And I said, what is it? And he said, "This is an ephah that goeth forth." The prophet sees another object going forth. Remember in the first vision in verse 3, he saw the roll going forth. What was it? It was the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. Now, what was an ephah? An ephah was a measuring instrument. It was used in daily commerce among the covenant people, commonly used to measure wheat, corn, and so forth. It was like a basket. Now, we have it mentioned a number of times. We studied the book of Ruth, and Ruth 2 and verse 17. "So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." We have it used again in Isaiah 5 and verse 10. So it was a basket-like instrument that would allow the true and deserved measure of a price paid. I want you to keep that in your mind. That's why this instrument acted, as it were, that it would allow a true and deserved measure of wheat, of corn, whatever it be, of a price paid. But there was also a known societal problem among the people of the Jews. And this societal problem was most likely an unspoken sin or an unspoken problem with the use of the ephah in daily commerce. We have this in Amos and chapter 8. We read of the ephah being wrongly used. Amos 8 verse 4 to 6. "Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making in the ephah small, and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances of deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat." So there was this societal problem. They were making the ephah small and the shekel great. They weren't using it for a true and deserved measure. They were using it underhandedly. The ephah was small, but somebody was going to pay a great price for this supposed ephah, this measure. We have this also in Micah. Micah speaks of measuring, Micah 6 and verse 10 and 11. "Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable?" See, the ephah was small. "Scant measure among the people. Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of deceitful weights?" So there was this unspoken sin, we could say, within the covenant community, where they were underhanded in their commerce and the use of the ephah. So this ephah then in our vision goes forth, and we are told that it goes forth as a resemblance through all, as a resemblance of them through all the earth. Verse 6. Now this can be directing us to one of two things. Firstly, that this ephah, that it is the resemblance of the people in their return from exile, because they have been gathered up, as it were, like barley into the one ephah, into a measure, that they are no longer scattered throughout the earth. Now, there's an element of that which is true. They have returned from exile. But we read in Esther, don't we, Esther chapter 1, that even 60 years later or more, they were still scattered over 127 regions of that empire. So it could mean that they have been gathered up again in their return. Or secondly, that this is how they are seen. This is their resemblance. Because it can be translated, this is their eye. Now, whether this be by the nations around about them or by God himself, this is how God sees them, though they be throughout the earth, wherever they are found. He sees them as a measuring instrument. The question now is, dear congregation, what are they filled with? What is this measuring instrument of the ephah filled with in regards to this people? Well, in Scripture, we have a measure in connection with sin. Sin is measured, whether it be the sin of the individual or the sin of the people of God or the sin of various nations. We are told that sin is measured. Genesis 15 and verse 16. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. What's that teaching us there? That the iniquity of these enemies of God's people had not yet come to that point where God would judge them for their sin. Their iniquity was not yet full, but it was getting there. Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51 and verse 13. And we read there, O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. So their covetousness had been measured, and it was now full. What was the consequence then, children? Their end had come. Now we have this also in the New Testament, and this is significant for us to note with regards to this vision. Matthew 23 and verse 32, Christ is speaking to the Pharisees, the hypocrites. And he says unto them, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Their fathers had sinned, and they were following after them. Is this their resemblance now that they are gathered? Is it a resemblance that the measure of their sin is nearly full? Or is it a clear emblem of them everywhere, wherever they are scattered throughout the earth, to fill up the measure of their sin? Well, one writer remarked, thus there is a limited time and measure for them. Whilst they sin and are filling up the ephah with their sins, they will find that the ephah of wrath is filled up also to be poured upon them. So God is telling them in this vision, or telling the prophet in this vision, that they are as an ephah, and they are filling this ephah with their wickedness, with their sin, and it will come one day to full measure, which will lead to the expulsion of that wickedness from the land. So that's the ephah. Secondly, we have the woman, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7, and behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. A weighty lid fitted neatly over the top of this basket, children. And we see here in the vision that this weighty lid was lifted off this basket. And within the basket was a woman sitting. The fact that she was sitting conveys something to us. It conveys that she was secure and confident in the ephah, in the basket. Is this pointing us to when the people of the Jews will once again be secure and confident in their sin? We remember that this generation of Zechariah, who had again turned to God in repentance, who were receiving the promises, were building the temple, they weren't yet secure because some of the visions were a comfort to them because they feared the nations around about them. Remember those first few visions. But also it tells us that she is shameless. Shameless as she may have tried to push her way out of the basket. Verse 8, and he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah and cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. So this woman has obviously tried to get out of this ephah, out of this basket, and she's been cast back down into the midst of it. Dear congregation, this woman is the personification of their wickedness. This is wickedness. Now picture this. A grown woman in a measuring instrument, squeezed as it were into this wee basket, nearly busting it on every side, trying to get out. It teaches us that herein was the wickedness of the whole land gathered up unto full measure. That was coming. It was coming. A day was coming when the people of the Jews, once again, their wickedness would fill this basket to overflowing, that it would need to be kept down with a heavy weight. Now, we're told of that in verse 8. We note that she is cast down from that seat upon which she sat. An emblem of the nation, of the Jews, being confident and secure in their wickedness. So this is a future generation that this vision is showing to Zechariah. She's being cast down, and there she will remain, with a heavy weight of lead. Again, returning to the mouth of the basket. The time will come again when the sin of the nation will be measured by God. And it will be found to be of full measure. Now, Matthew Henry is always helpful with pithy sentences and remarks. And he says here, he that weighs the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance measures nations and churches as in an ephah. So exact is he in his judicial dealings with them. Now you remember what an ephah did. It gave a true and deserved measure of a price paid. And that's what Matthew Henry is here stating. It is so exact with God in his judicial dealings with the people, that when he pours out his wrath upon a sinful people, it is a true and deserved measure for their sin. This is the purpose of the ephah. A true and deserved measure. Now there may be, as I've already mentioned, a deal of secrecy or an unspoken societal evil in their commercial dealings. And this is conveyed to us again in the basket, in the ephah itself. This wickedness is enclosed, as it were, unseen, being underhanded. We come to the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he found such practices, didn't he? He found such practices in the temple itself. The forecourt, what did he do? He overturned the tables. He made a whip. And he cleansed his father's house. Why? Because of such societal evil as this. God sees it, and he sees the full measure of it. God will exact the full measure of his justice in its destruction. Think of the woman being squashed with this heavy weight, children, in the basket. But also, and more importantly, this second vision has this theme of expulsion from the land. And that leads us on to our third point, the expulsion of wickedness. Verse 9 through to verse 11. And we see the prophet here lifting up again his eyes, and he looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. They carry it away to its own land, the land of Shinar. The expulsion of wickedness from the land would not only be destructive with the lead weight, but it would also be swift. As verse 9 teaches us, two women with wings like a stork conveys to us the strength and the swiftness of the providences that God will use to carry away this wicked people. It is, as one remarked, a secret intimation of a future deportation or carrying of the Jew into captivity again for sin. What a gracious God, a merciful God, to give to Zechariah this vision, to this people who have only returned from exile. He's given them a vision that unless sin is dealt with, if they allow this ephah to continue to fill up to its full measure, a day is coming when they will be once again expelled from the land into captivity because of their sin. The expulsion of wickedness is the expulsion of the nation of the Jews. It's not the expulsion of the church, in a sense. But as the Jewish people are here found as a nation. Now, this is an important point for us to grasp as regards to the previous visions of hope. These visions in Zechariah 5 do not at all cancel out the visions that we have already considered. Because the visions that we have considered were the promises of the coming of the kingdom of the Messiah, which did come and is still a kingdom of grace for his people. But we have to remember that the nation of the Jews were once again expelled from their land. Matthew 23 will again help us with this. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25. We have Christ speaking here to the Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness. You see, the wickedness of the nation was within, was maybe unseen. They were outwardly holy. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And then in chapter 21 and verse 43, we have a telling scripture. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, from the nation of the Jews, and given to the nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. So here we have the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ near the time of his death. And he's saying to these scribes and Pharisees, your sin is nearly a full measure, and the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to another nation. Dear saints, we are immediately confronted with this solemn thought and this historical truth This Jewish nation had been delivered by God from exile, and now we see that the wickedness, in full measure, will return to this nation, albeit 400 years later. But it's still a warning in this vision of Zechariah. Just as the wickedness in full measure returns, so divine vengeance will swiftly follow and certainly overtake the Jewish nation once again. What do we have here, dear congregation? After mercy displayed, wickedness returns. After the covenant fidelity of God, we have the covenant infidelity once again of the people. This, I suggest, was chiefly demonstrated in their treatment of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Malachi calls him the messenger of the covenant. And this is where their covenant infidelity was grossly seen, in that they took the promised Messiah, the Son of God, and they betrayed him. They crucified him. And in doing so, the measure of their ephah, the measure of their sin, was full. Now in verse 11, we have the building of a house in Shinar. He asked the question, where does it go? Where's this ephah going to? Where are they carrying it away to? He says, to build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Some see here a reference to the Tower of Babel in the land of Shinar. The building of a house in Shinar teaches us that this expulsion is greater than the one that they previously experienced. It is no 70-year expulsion. It is a casting off. Rather, a permanent dwelling upon her own base. You see what's happening here? Well, the people of the Jews, no longer upon the base of the covenant, no longer upon the base of the promise, but rather a people built upon the base of their own sin. Now, dear congregation, it is highly probable that this vision predicted the events of AD 70. What happened in AD 70? Well, we had the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman army and authorities. They destroyed Jerusalem, and the Jews were once again scattered throughout the whole earth. This is what Zechariah was told would happen, an expulsion of wickedness from the land. And we had it. The measure of their sin was full when they rejected Christ, and they were expelled once again from the land. That time when the measure of their wickedness was full by his rejection and crucifixion, the one whom the previous visions called upon God's people to look towards, the one in whom the temple pointed towards, in the nation's blindness, deafness, stupidity, and hardness of heart, they were carried away in the swift vengeance of God. Moore remarked, when their resting should not be on God or on the rock Christ Jesus, but on their own base, verse 11, they should be left to themselves, weighed down like lead with judicial blindness, stupidity, darkness, and hardness of heart. The Jewish nation rejected the base of God's covenant, rejected the base of Jesus Christ, and were left to their own judicial blindness. Well, what further uses can we make then of this for ourselves? There are only two. Firstly, God's long-suffering. The events that were in this vision of Zechariah 5, we believe, took place 400 years after this vision. This teaches us of God's long-suffering. God's long-suffering is a mercy that awaits repentance. It awaits repentance. But the sinful individual or nation rather uses God's long-suffering to fill up their measure with sin. What a foolish thing to do. To take a mercy of God like his long-suffering and rather using it for repentance, use it to fill up your measure, to make yourself full of sin and ready for what? For God's wrath. You yourself set forth the true and deserved measure of your own sin. It's quite a thought, isn't it? Let us be warned, dear congregation, that the full measure of our sin will be met with the end of God's long suffering in the full measure of his wrath. That's what will happen to an unrepentant individual. Are we busy filling our ephah? Think of our nation. Is our nation busy filling its ephah? Is it yet to its full measure? Or are these providences like COVID and other things threatenings, warnings from God? Your measure is nearly full. Turn. Make use of my long suffering. Repent of your sin. We ought to pray for our nation. We see that wickedness abounds like no other age. Surely the measure is nearly full. Secondly, the eschatological hope of Zechariah is noted even in this threatening. The end time hope of Zechariah, the encouragement of Zechariah, is even noted in this threatening. In the day of the Messiah, that is, from the coming of his kingdom, in the day of his grace, that which the Jewish nation rejected, unto the consummation of all things, when all nations, kindreds, tribes, and tongues shall be gathered before him in the day of judgment. In the day of the Messiah, there will be the expulsion of sin forever. The victory of the gospel over wickedness is likened unto the gathering of this woman into the ephah. On that great and awful day, sin will be expelled. It will be, as it were, gathered up and dealt with by the Messiah in judgment. Sin will be expelled, and there will be no more curse in the new heavens and the new earth. Wickedness expelled. Christ, the promised Messiah, has and will carry away sin, and it shall be no more a trouble for his people in the kingdom of his glory. He has carried away, as it were, the guilt of our sin in the kingdom of his grace. He will carry away sin in itself, expelled completely, the curse gone in the kingdom of his glory. Wickedness will be gathered up on the last day. And it will be confined in God's wrath to its own place. Just like verse 11 here. It was confined to its own place. Where is its own place? Well, it's hell itself. That's where it will be confined to. Never to return or corrupt God's people. Dear saints, will we be gathered up? Or dear congregation, sorry. Will we be gathered up with wickedness on the last day? Will we join it as a resident of its own place? Will we be expelled from God's presence with it? Or will we experience the glorious reality of the expulsion of the sin curse in the new heavens and the new earth? What will it be? Will you be gathered up with it, taken to its own place with it? Or will your experience be a delightful one in its expulsion from the new heavens and new earth? Well, may the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts. Let us pray.